No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hello and welcome to the MMQB NFL Podcast. I'm Gary Gremling.
And I'm Connor Orr.
And Connor, the date as we tape this is November 16th, and as you know, the annual tradition is that this is a mailbag show.
I mean, since at least 1999, I can remember this being the case.
Yeah, it's you can see it carved in the walls of the caves that November 16th is a podcast mailbag show. No, there was just nothing like, you know, really gripping us or anyone in the NFL world right now. We're kind of in the NFL's version of the dog days, so. Why don't we just answer some miscellaneous questions from strangers where we're at.
Yeah, and we should note that the narrative 6-part Jeff Saturday podcast on his heroic rise, like that's coming. It's just, it takes us time to put that together. So in the meantime, in order to provide you with some content, we're still just going to do a mailbag. But you're right, this is the dog days. And I was talking to someone about this the other day, which I thought was interesting. And the person said, this is baseball in June. And we're making a big deal out of November losses that nobody is even going to think about, that won't even make the SI commemorative issue of this team. Like whatever team wins the Super Bowl, if it's the Bills, right? Mm-hmm. Is that Jets loss going to even be in there? Is the Vikings loss will probably be in there, right? Because that was an amazing game. That was incredible. But Eagles win the Super Bowl, is that Commanders game going to be in there?
Can I just build off of this? Because we're talking about it now, and I was going to save this for later in the show because it's really just on the nose kind of, let me read you some results type of analysis here. But I do want to just quickly... November 29th in 2020, Bucks lost their second straight game. They lost 3 of 4. They were 7-5. Everyone thought they were done. If you go back last year, the Rams, they lost 3 in a row. Weeks 9 through 12, there was a bye week in between there, and they were dead in the water. They were going to be, you know, missing the playoffs or one and done or whatever it might be. The Bills, everyone's kind of freaking out about the Bills. We're going to talk about the Bills in a little bit. They had, I'd forgotten about this, this run, this 2-4 run that started in week 9 and ended with that overtime Bucks loss in week 14. But they lost to the Jags. They scored 6 points in Jacksonville. They got blown out by the Colts. That was the worst game this team has played in a very long time. They got hammered in their own building by the Colts. It was 41-15, but it wasn't that close.
Remember that?
You had the 2 weeks later, you had the Mac Jones 3-pass game in the wind, and then you had the Bucks loss. And, you know, wow. They lost back-to-back, the Jets and the Vikings. And it's like, whatever. Lose them now.
Yeah.
You know, better to lose these games now than in January when it's single elimination.
So, when the Eagles lost to the Commanders on Monday night, mm-hmm. I wrote this. I was like, this is the best possible thing that could happen to them. The best possible thing. They got like 9 ridiculous fumbles and idiotic mistakes out of the way. Brandon Graham will never do that again, hitting the quarterback while he's giving himself up. And he's a 13-year vet, but he will never come close to doing that again. And he especially won't come close to doing it again in the playoffs with an important game on the line. You could even say like Quez Watkins isn't going to try to quickly do a somersault and then stand back up and run, because now he knows like my equilibrium's off. I'm probably going to drop the football. I think this is the best possible thing that can happen. Sometimes you should lose a few games. Just do it.
And that's the thing. They were in for a regression in turnover differential. They were basically +2 per game going into that Monday night game. But the way they – I mean, Dallas Goedert gets his face ripped off and then loses a fumble. And the Quez Watkins play where you complete a 60-yard pass and then he, you know, gets a little bit dizzy and drops the ball. I mean, those are not – that's not like, oh, man, we're real turnover prone now. We just have guys who – drop the ball at random time. No, that's not a thing. Like, non-quarterback turnovers are just not a thing, and you had 2 of them that swung that game on Monday night. So, whatever. Everyone just relax. There's so much more time left in the season. It's again, real quick. Week 10, or through week 10 last year, Bengals were 5-4. The Chiefs were 5-4. The Chiefs were 6-4. They hadn't had their bye week. The Cardinals... Remember the Cardinals? Remember the Cardinals fans? 8-2.
Cardinals suck.
it's not worth getting worked up about. There are teams that have fundamental issues that will keep them from having success going forward. There are teams that I think there are maybe question marks about what happens when there's more tape out there and maybe teams can prepare for them a little bit more thoroughly, but... No. Nothing that happened in November should have changed anyone's outlook on any team at this point.
I agree, Gary. Let's open some mail.
I was going to say, the thing that we said we'd do is answer other people's questions rather than yelling at each other while agreeing. So this first one is coming from Ray in Boston. Hey, guys, random question for you. Wintry mix here. Ooh, wintry mix. In the Northeast last night. Are you pro snow or anti-snow, especially in Western New York, where they should be getting some high-profile snow games coming up soon? I'm glad we're starting with a weather report here, because there's a low-pressure system that's fronting its way across the lake region, which will lead to snow on Sunday.
I just pulled up the 10-day forecast on my phone from my area, and... we're not cracking 30 degrees until next Friday. Man. Whoa. That's terrible.
We got to have
Are those the lows? Those are the lows. Never mind.
See, we got to have David Lynch on the show to do his weather report.
Yeah, and, I don't know anything about weather. Did you ever do... You went to Syracuse, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
Were you a broadcast journalism major?
No, I was a magazine journalism major.
Oh, look at you using your degree. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I was a broadcast journalism major. And
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Do you remember NCC News, which was Newhouse News Network?
Closed circuit thing, yeah.
Yeah, it was like we did the news every day as broadcast students, and they would play it embarrassingly in the cafeteria of the school, and nobody else saw it, and hopefully they throw those tapes into a furnace somewhere. But there are some days where you have to produce the show, you have to shoot it, you have to do whatever, and only once I did the weather, and my God, what an absolute disaster that was. Getting used to pointing at the thing behind
you. The green screen, right?
The green screen behind you. And when I say, sometimes when I think about a coach melting down or a player melting down in a big game, I'm like, Connor, think about the time that you had to do the weather on a closed circuit student news network that was never going to be seen by anybody else in life. And they outperformed you so significantly in that, in like that equal pressure scenario. But weather, it's a prickly thing, and I feel very bad for the people on the news who have to do that. It's a very hard job.
It is. It is. Meteorologists. It's a science.
True.
So, back to the question here, because it's supposed to be like a couple of feet for Bills Browns on Sunday, I believe, according to the internet. I'm kind of a mixed mindset when it comes to snow games. I used to host this show with someone named Andy Benoit, who now is a Super Bowl champion with the Los Angeles Rams. He was firmly, and he talked about this on the show, he was entirely 100% anti-snow game. He thought it was not real football. It makes the game into basically, you might as well have just both teams go out and flip a coin at midfield and decide it that way. It does not give you a fair assessment of the better team between the two participants. So I'll throw it to you and hope you're a little bit takey here.
Well, I like how you said you had a mixed opinion when you could have said you have a wintry mixed opinion, right?
Yeah.
On snow games.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have, but you chose not to. And that's fine. But I think if we're boiling everything down to it doesn't determine the best team, then every game needs to be a baseball series. If we're going to that, then, it doesn't determine the best team.
Mm-hmm.
Then you should have to play them three times in a row, in a week. You should have the Super Bowl be a best of seven series. If we're really that concerned about playing or determining the best team, then there are far more broader avenues. And I would argue the complete opposite of that, which is weather is part of the job. I want our former co-host and excellent person, friend, Jenny Vrentis. I remember she was the pool reporter for the New England Patriots a couple times, and when they were in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And listening to her stories about Bill Belichick being concerned about what time the retractable roof is opening. Are you serious? Like, but that's part of your job. Those are things that you need to think about. And you need to think about, oh, well, if it's snowing, I can do this. And I talked to Stephen Gilmore about this once. And I said, what was the best piece of advice, direct advice, that Bill Belichick gave? He said one time he was just like walking up and down the field before the game, gauging the wind and looking at the wind patterns in the stadium. And he's like, listen, first go ball that they throw when we're going in this direction, I want you to play behind the receiver just a little bit. And I think the ball is going to come to you. I think the wind is that heavy today. And guess what happened? He intercepted a ball. Like, it's incredible. And I think that weather in general is part of the game. We're also, it's a big weather time in the Orr House right now. So we're reading the popular book right now is The Amazing Mumford from Sesame Street Does Weather.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yep. And it's sort of this bit where he brings everybody into the auditorium for a magic show, and he's supposed to make it rain. But instead of making it rain, he makes all the other weathers happen. And so Grover goes through fog and sleet and wind and all that stuff. And
yeah.
then sunshine. So, I mean, we're big into weather right now.
Okay.
In fairness.
I would think Grover would be cool with that. It's still pretty impressive. Lots of precipitation.
A lot of precipitation in that auditorium. I don't know how they cleaned it up.
Hmm. Okay, you kind of swayed me a little bit. I do like the thought of, you know, Kevin Stefanski showing up on Sunday afternoon and just being like, ugh, this snow, whatever, do whatever you want, guys. Like, we're not calling plays today. Just run around. Everyone run around for 3 hours and we'll get out of here.
What was the Trey Lance game earlier this year? Like the one game he played against the Bears?
Monsoon, yeah, out in Soldier Field.
That is, it's part of the deal. It's like, why else do we have these $3 billion Death Star operations? Like, there should be a cleats guy who, this is his time to shine. Like, this is why you're employed by the organization. It's like, you get to be the, you know, it's like why I'm sure the government has some sort of asteroid expert. And it's like, when there's an asteroid coming to Earth, you get to be the hero. And so cleats guy gets to be the hero. Or, who's the, you know, the guy who sews the hand warmers into the jerseys real quick, like that guy, you know, like weather provides all of these hardworking people with infinite purpose in life. And I love that about weather.
Okay.
You didn't think I was going to be that passionate about this, did you?
No, I didn't. I didn't think anyone could be that passionate about that, but yeah, I like that. And I think we've provided some good answers here for Ray. I'm 60% of the way to being pro snow. I think it's aesthetically pleasing. I think it's pretty.
I love the that was a quote from my grandma who said her favorite thing in the world is that next on the window on the other side of her bedroom is like a pan. There's like a pan there, like a frying pan for some reason. It's outside.
Okay.
But so it catches the falling snow. She'll sit there and listen to falling snow being caught in like a pan. It's like her favorite thing. It's a very cool thing. Snow is a very underrated thing.
I don't know if it's underrated, but it is a cool thing.
I think snow doesn't get its due. It's less damaging. Like it's more of an inconvenient weather system, right? Than it's not a hurricane, it's not a flood, right? Mm-hmm, it's just it's pretty. You can play in it. It gets you off of school. It's synonymous with a very happy time of the year. And I think we dismiss it as just, you know, I think the fact that it's cold drags it down a little bit in the power rankings. But I would say snow gets a bad rap for being largely the best weather pattern, like the best instance of weather outside of sunshine.
I'll think about that one. Potentially dangerous, and it makes it difficult to drive, and you got to shovel it. It makes you work.
It does make it difficult to drive. That's fair.
That's
fair. I guess Gary's in Big Sunshine's pocket here, Big Rain's pocket, just trashing snow on the podcast.
I just don't go outside. It doesn't affect me at all. All right. This next one is coming from Bryce in Toledo. Didn't Deshaun Watson sign with the Browns because he was supposed to be good? Yeah, or because they were supposed to be good. Yeah, that was kind of the thing, right? He was looking at the sort of the Southeast teams, and then all of a sudden it was, well, the Browns have the best supporting cast, the best infrastructure in place for me, and therefore I will go there and they will win the derby of teams that sort of debase themselves and lower themselves into a sewer to get in on this. But they're really not good defensively. And I don't want to overstate what happened in Miami last week because the Dolphins are obviously, they're just cooking everyone. I mean, there's the amount of wide open space on that field is unfathomable for an NFL game. What Mike McDaniels is doing to people is, I don't know, it's rude is what I'd say. But as far as this Browns team goes, they're bad defensively, and I wonder if it's partially because they really built themselves. I feel like they went all in to stop Lamar Jackson. They got a lot of sort of Lamar stoppers, smaller guys, and it just hasn't really worked out. But that back seven hasn't gelled in any way, shape, or form either.
Yeah, so right now the Browns are 27th in turnovers caused. They are 31st in points allowed. They are 19th against the pass. They are 23rd against the run, but 27th in yards per attempt, which I think is sort of a better measure of this. Their offense is, and I don't know, I mean, it's pretty amazing that they're 7th in efficiency right now. basically because of the running game. I think they're 18th in dropback success rate. So, whatever. Insert Jacoby Brissett comment there, Gary. Mm-hmm. But
I don't even have to convince people anymore.
Yeah,
he's just good.
So I would guess, and sure, some of the parameters change. Like maybe Deshaun helps you hold the ball a couple more times. You take a few more possessions away from other teams. You're scoring a little bit more frequently than you would without him. But okay, they scored. This year, they've scored 25 or more points in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 of their games. They only scored fewer than 20 points twice. So, I don't know. I mean, how much better does this offense get with the current receivers that they have
mm-hmm.
next year? Because you're really playing for next year. Next year, Nick Chubb's a year older. And we're seeing running backs hang on a little bit longer. Certainly Saquon Barkley's had a longer shelf life. Derrick Henry recovered from a broken foot, which is mm-hmm. nuts. But you probably lose Kareem Hunt. Tried to, I guess, entertain the idea of trading him. Maybe you're trying to get another back in the draft or whatever, but you don't have any first-round picks. Are you going to pay big for a wide receiver this offseason to pair with Watson? Maybe you try to swing a deal for DeAndre Hopkins. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is here, but how much better is that versus do you have enough time and equity and patience, and can you find the right coach to make this defense better? Because I would guess, and this is, I don't think we're breaking any news here, but I would guess they're going to go into next season with a different defensive coordinator.
Yeah, it's just really surprising that it's slid backwards here when it should be getting better. I think when you have a group together, you bring in a bunch of new faces. It takes a year or two to sort of get it going, but it's been so much worse in year two than in year one. And we'll see. So the salary cap is a lie, but I don't know how drastic a remake can be. So you're right. I think it's probably going to be a new defensive coordinator running this thing in 2023.
Maybe. Well, I don't want to. That I don't think that's. I'm not going to speculate. But, I just looked up DeAndre Hopkins. So even if they traded him next year, that was a big contract extension.
Yeah.
It was a 2-year. Well, it was a 2-year, $54 million deal. But still, they're going to pay a buttload of dead money if they try to get rid of him after this year. Interesting. So
yeah, I mean,
I don't know who's available. You know.
I'll say this. We know the receiver market's kind of going wild right now. The Browns had something of a find in Amari Cooper. Obviously, they're paying him a fair amount, but you know, not a lot of draft capital to get him in there. If you shop in that aisle, maybe you unearth another treasure here.
Right now, so this is just Pro Football Focus, the best free agents of next year. Who do you think mm-hmm. their number one wide receiver is coming out next year?
Oh, gosh. Free agent receivers next year. I honestly have absolutely no idea. I'll say, did Michael Gallup get a long-term deal?
Michael Gallup.
He got a multi-year deal, didn't he?
He got a multi-year deal, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm going to be terrible at this game because I don't even know who the upcoming free agents are at this point. So it's got to be, I'm trying to think who would have gotten a fifth year. Oh, Marquise Brown.
Oh, okay. Marquise Brown. They have Jacoby Myers as the best free agent wide receiver for next year.
Okay.
Available by grade. So it's like, boy, I don't know. I mean, Nelson Agholor, Sterling Shepard, Al Lazard, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Those are some really good role players.
Olamide Zaccheaus.
Yeah.
Mac Hollins. Mecole Hardman. You might be able to hit it big with him. Like, Mecole Hardman, you're probably going to pay a lot of money to.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people are probably looking at it and saying, unless you have a very specific plan for him, if he didn't kind of, you know, grasp and hold on to that Tyreek Hill role in Kansas City and sort of be that replacement. I just don't know. You're paying Mecole Hardman. I don't know, man. Not for me.
You know, but whatever. If that team doesn't go to the playoffs next year, everybody's getting canned.
Yeah, that's except for the quarterback. Sure. Except for the quarterback and the owner. Can't. All right, next one. This is from Henry in England. He sent this via electronic mail. Is Carson Wentz's backup better than Carson Wentz again? Sam Howell? I don't know who Carson Wentz's backup is. I think Taylor Heineke is the starter in Washington, at least for the time being. I don't think you'd etch it in stone for the rest of the season, but yeah, this seems to be the taxpayers' team right now.
Oh, yeah. It's not even April and the taxpayer is shining, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He filed them. He's going to file them like January 1. He's so organized, yes. You know?
It's, and that's the thing. Is he going to get distracted late in the year?
True. By when tax season starts.
Tax season 3 months away. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I could be making too much of this one, but I don't know why we're even making this a big deal. To be honest, like I don't think there's a question that Taylor Heineke deserves to be the starter until further notice.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm Ron Rivera, like I get it, right? I mean. I've been on beats before where there's been a three-way quarterback controversy, actually, between Mark Sanchez, Tim Tebow, and Greg McElroy. So I've lived through it, buddy. I've been through it. And I think everybody knows the answer to the question, but you still have to pose it because whatever the coach says is a story. If he's non-committal, that's a story. If he's forcefully behind Taylor Heineke, that's a story. And if he's forcefully behind Carson Wentz, that's a story. So I get why we have to do it. I understand how this works. But, I mean, everyone has eyes. I think we saw that Eagles game. I think the way that they've designed this thing, it fits him really well stylistically. And so Taylor Heineke, if you put that processing system and that, like, effort confidence into Carson Wentz's body, I think you'd have you'd really have something there, you know?
Yeah, that's
into that offense.
That's kind of what Carson Wentz was in 2017,
right?
Before this all kind of went sideways a little bit. Look, right now Taylor Heineke is just he's hot. That's the way it goes sometimes. I don't know if it's necessarily sustainable. It's a lot of obviously a lot of misdirection built in that offense. It's funny, like you just, the touch is good, but there's just no zip behind anything he throws. So I get the concerns, I get the shortcomings, but, it's working right now. He is, whatever, he's you're in the Final Four and your, 5'11", walk-on just came out and hit like 4 straight threes. And it's kind of like, I don't know, guess we got to see where this goes at this point.
Leave him in, you know? Who's a good do you have it like a deep callback of any kind on that? I would love if there was like, man,
the Michigan dude did that against Louisville that one year.
Oh, you know who?
Spike something.
You know who would be a good one?
Who's that?
Do you remember Kevin Pittsnoggle?
Yeah, he was a big dude though.
It's true. He was a big dude, and he was a starter, but he was just like a random guy that was just slinging threes, you know?
It was Spike Albrecht was the guy who did it, and yeah, they just, he came out on fire. They lost anyway, because then he stopped making every shot he took after a little while, but yeah, man, go Spike Albrecht here. Stick with Taylor Heineke, see where it goes. And the other thing is, not to pile on Carson Wentz, who I'm sure is a perfectly nice guy, but there's no urgency to go back to him. It's not like you had something magical going and we got to get him back in the lineup.
Yeah, and at this point, it just hurts you as a team, right? Don't you lose? Isn't there some sort of a compensatory deal on this trade?
Oh,
too?
Yeah, there is, isn't
play
there?
Time
there always
percentage?
Is. There always is with Carson Wentz.
Yeah, like that's just what he comes with. Kevin Pittsnoggle, by the way, Gary, is a high school principal right now, which is pretty cool.
Oh, nice. I'd go to that school.
I would go to that school.
Let's go to that school. Watch him sign some papers or whatever principals do during the day.
No doubt.
All right, I think we got time for one more here. This is coming from Tom on Twitter. Are the Packers heating up? Everyone's feeling real good in Green Bay. It was a long, cold October there, and I don't know if things are turning around. I don't think the ceiling on this team is what we thought it would be, and I think it's less about the offense for me, and it's more about the defense, which hasn't played up to the level they did a year ago, and now they're also, you know, no Rashawn Gary. You know, we'll see about Devondre Campbell here. I don't think they have the defense to make up for the growing pains on offense is what it comes down to.
Is there a point where you recognize the athleticism of your receiving core, but their lack of precision, and you just say like, F it, like, and I know you can't really do that, right? There's no drawing up plays in the dirt in professional football, but is there a way to just sort of allow them to play a little bit and just sort of abandon? Because you're not, AJ Dillon's not working, your offensive line's too banged up, you're not, the marriage of the run and the pass game is a great idea in theory when you have a dominant run game, and it's just not happening for them. And so at some point, if you're Aaron Rodgers, are you just like, let me take this thing over? And do you remember when, I think it was like towards the end of Mike McCarthy and Brett Favre, I remember there being like a big special on it. I think I was in college, right? And it was called like, they called the offense like the Big Five, and it was just Brett Favre and five wide receivers. And then you would just, Brett Favre was just kind of Favre-ing it, you know? And like Mike McCarthy's like, yeah, you know, we came up with this idea, but like it just looks kind of like Brett doing kind of whatever he wants to do. And it was working for a little while. He was slinging it, you know?
The game I think back to with this Packers team is last year, I think it was a Thursday night in Arizona. Where they went in, it was no Devontae Adams, and they were missing a bunch of guys because of COVID protocols and stuff like that. And it was like Amari Rodgers got let go this week, and just a bunch of really young dudes out there. And the play that always sticks out to me is they had a little route for Amari Rodgers to run out into the flat and you know, make a catch on upfield, and he took it too far upfield, and the pass was incomplete. And Aaron Rodgers was just furious, and that was like the end of Amari Rodgers. I don't think you can necessarily do it with Rodgers, where you just say, let's just play, let's just improvise. You can do it when you have Jordy Nelson and James Jones and all those guys from those teams, but I don't think these guys can improvise with him, and that's kind of the core of the problem. I think you can go out there and say, we're going to hand it to Aaron Jones a ton, and A.J. Dillon close to a ton, even though we're kind of losing something with that transition from Jones to Dillon. And any time it looks like Christian Watson is singled up on the outside, just run straight upfield, and we're going to chuck it.
Yeah.
I do like the idea of running 40 triple reverses in one game.
It's so funny because there's never... I was thinking about the Titans, and they had a flea flicker, very successful flea flicker on Sunday. And it's almost like, you know, how the zone read became its own thing. And, you know, whatever it was, 60 years ago, that was a trick play, right? Faking a handoff to somebody and running in the other direction. Holy smokes, you know? But if I were the Titans, like, the flea flicker should be your base offense, where, like, every play... Derrick Henry feigns flea flicking and then just runs it upfield, you know? And like, I don't know. I think if you're this doesn't really relate to the Packers because it's not the same thing. You don't have Derrick Henry, but we need to do like, there needs to be some other kind of thing happening. Like motion's getting old. I'm tired of motion. I'm tired of the Philly special. There needs to be something else happening here. I mean, Tom Brady, the Leonard Fournette play was the death of the quarterback throwback. I think, what team killed the Philly special 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? Was it the Bengals?
Oh, boy. Let's see. The Giants did it, and it didn't work, but they scored anyway. And then somebody did it terribly. Oh, man. Who was that?
Was it the Bengals?
It was the Bengals. That's right. Bengals on Sunday night in Baltimore.
Yes. So, I don't know. Matt LaFleur, get in the laboratory, you know?
Legalize the fumble rooski. Bring that back.
Yeah.
Statue of Liberty play-based offense.
Nobody fakes spikes anymore, either.
Yeah.
We should fake spike it more.
Fake spike it, or just spike it at random times. Just throw everyone off.
I don't care about these downs.
Have Aaron Rodgers give himself up and then draw a penalty.
Oh, like the Pitt version of Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
Like fake give yourself up.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, those are all options. Here's what I'm saying. There's no excuse. You and I have.
I'm just picturing Matt LaFleur like listening to this podcast and like furiously scribbling down these ideas.
Why didn't I think of that? Fake spike. Coaches, though, and granted, they don't have time to do this. Coaches have so much stuff going on. But the availability of film that they have at their disposal, where they can go to all available levels of college football, and they have like a little overlay system that can be just like, show me every trick play that gained 20 or more yards in the NCAA this weekend, and they can watch them all in 40 seconds. You know, we just have terrible Game Pass. We can't do that. So how do I know what's out there? There's probably some cool stuff out there, you know? Watch it. Do a whole script of it, you know? Just show us that you're willing to get a little nuts, you know?
Man, 53 fake plays.
Okay, I recognize that this is not going to work, right? It's that it's screwed up and then it's not going to happen. But
yeah,
how pissed... How messed up, how stressed out would you be as a defense if you came out like Philly special, Statue of Liberty play, annexation of Puerto Rico? I'm trying to think of the other ones from NFL Quarterback Club 95. the one play that the Vikings have in Tecmo Bowl that doesn't work.
the Anthony Carter end around when you want to lose 8 yards.
Yeah, that one. Oh, what else could you do? You know, you just run them back to back to back to back to back. You run like a hook and ladder. Just do it all back to back. And then as a team, what would you do? You'd be freaking out.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, you know?
Or you'd just be watching the other team not move the ball.
Yeah, or it'd just be two bad plays and then like an interception or a fumble or a punt.
Yeah, to answer Tom's question here.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Tom.
No, I don't think the Packers are heating up. I think they have enough answers to kind of be, you know, maybe in the wild card hunt. You know, you can stick around in games. And that's the thing. They're part of the goulash now. They're part of the 24-team goulash. They're probably, I think, optimistically, they're in the middle of it. I think you even argue that with the injury issues on defense, they're on the bottom half of that. But, yeah, you just hope you catch a couple breaks. You hope you get a couple tipped interceptions. Whatever Casey Hayward was doing last year to to keep getting hit in the chest with passes. Hope that happens again.
Yeah. Well, that was good, Gary. I think, I don't know how many questions we actually answered, but I had a good time.
I had a good time. We covered the weather. We got into foreign affairs a little bit. Some mathematics in there, I think.
What else could you ask for?
It's a mailbag. The MMQB NFL podcast is Connor Orr and me, Gary Gramling. We are produced by Shelby Royston. SI's executive producer of podcasts is Scott Brody, and our senior podcast producer is Dan Bloom. Mark Mravick is emeritus editor of the MMQB, and Super Bowl champion Andy Benoit is the founder of the MMQB NFL podcast. Be sure to subscribe to this feed on Apple Podcasts. And once you do, please leave a rating and review because it really does help other people find the show, which is also available on Spotify, Stitcher, SI.com, and wherever else you listen to podcasts.